So $600,000 to $1 million we've committed to for each employee, and we've set aside nothing. Zero.
In late June 2012, Stockton, California filed Chapter 9 bankruptcy.
The motion carries 6-1.
It wasn't the first California city to do so, and what's happening in California is spreading to the rest of the country. But so far, with a population of just under 300,000, it is the biggest municipality in U.S. history to go bankrupt. An agricultural center located just outside of San Francisco in California's Central Valley, Stockton was a booming suburb in the 1990s, providing an affordable living alternative to the pricey real estate of the Bay Area. Living large off the new property taxes created by the housing bubble, the city government spent lavishly on big public works projects like a waterfront park, an arena, and a brand new city hall, which sits nearly empty, as the city government could never actually afford to move in. Promotional flyers still remain plastered to empty buildings downtown, reminders of a more hopeful time. But even all this spending pales in comparison to the magnitude of Stockton's public employee pension and benefit obligations. The city now faces more than $800 million in unfunded liabilities for pensions and other employee benefits.
We're saddled with this debt. We don't have the revenues anymore to service.
With revenue dwindling in the wake of the housing crash, Stockton issued a $125 million bond in 2007 to help fill the budget gap. But the back-end loaded bond saddled the city with an annual payment of $16.8 million as of this year, with ballooning payments rising to $22.3 million next year and nearly doubling to $30.2 million by 2020.
I was really shocked by how deep it went, by how ingrained it was. It had really created a culture, what was best for the city and what was best for its employees, not necessarily what was best for the public.
Miller describes a political culture in which generous handouts to public employee unions were masked through tricky accounting of a savvy city manager who enabled local government officials to give in to nearly every union demand.
The quality of that information that the councils received in the 1990s from then city manager Dwayne Milnes was not complete. It was not always accurate. And in some cases, I think it was almost misleading.
Dwayne Milnes was Stockton's city manager in the 90s and signed off on many of these benefit packages.
In retrospect, we should have been more restrictive in that plan than we were, but we didn't know what was going to happen.
Milnes now runs Stockton's Association of Retired Employees, which is fighting to preserve many of those very same benefits he now admits were a mistake for the city.
These are vested rights. If you have a need to reduce them, you need to come talk to us.
Milnes doesn't believe that he or the city council members he advised are to blame for Stockton's dire situation, and says that the economic downturn would have put Stockton here with or without the public spending binge.
I've seen cities that have the same pension system, are paying pretty much the same pension rates that Stockton is doing, and are not about ready to fall off the cliff. So when you ask who's going to tip over, it's not who is providing the pension benefits, it's who's providing the pension benefits in an economic environment that they can't support it.
But Reason Foundation senior policy analyst Adam Summers says that Stockton's story is becoming an increasingly common one, as public officials have no incentive to rein in spending before hitting the brink.
You're going to continue to see more and more cities kind of going the way of Stockton and San Bernardino and Vallejo. There's a real kind of moral hazard whereby they have incentives to offer goodies to people, knowing that they won't have to bear the cost of those decisions.
In Stockton, we had a city manager who publicly has stated he didn't like having to negotiate every year with his public employee unions, and so he granted generous long-term contracts because he didn't want to do it.
Malarkey. You know, she was not in the closed sessions when we were very, very clear with the city council in detail what was being negotiated, what the costs of those things were, I'm the last guy who's going to tell you what it is you want to hear.
Putting the history for the bad deal aside, today's reality is that the unfunded retiree benefits, on top of the extensive borrowing to pay for fancy new buildings, has gutted the city's general fund, a bulk of which is now devoted to paying back loans, though it's supposed to pay for the most basic government services, like police and fire.
When cities make promises they can't keep, whether it's pensions or some sort of boondoggle project that gets them into a lot of debt, those eat up resources that could be spent for public safety or education.
One result is that Stockton's police force shrank by 26% in 4 years. And last year, Stockton had a record 58 murders. Halfway into 2012, they've already had 34.
Stockton's a very dangerous place to live. The number of business robberies are going up. The number of car auto burglaries, auto thefts, shootings. People are more likely to be a victim of a crime than they've ever been before in their life.
Catherine Nance is a police sergeant and member of the Stockton Police Officers Association, which has several lawsuits against the city.
They kept spending to build and build and build on things that they couldn't afford. We're now below market value and unable to retain and recruit people.
But in yet another example of the city's loose accounting, three of the last four police chiefs served fewer than 3 years in Stockton and used the inflated salaries in those final years of their service to retire with massive pensions, some of which exceed $200,000 a year. While the last remnants of a fading movement occupy one of the city's nearly empty public parks, Kathy Miller says it's not corporate pay, but public sector pay that's out of sync with reality in Stockton.
The gap widened between what they were earning and what the average taxpayer was earning. I mean, this is in a county where the average working person earns less than $50,000 a year.
While California's state-run pension system, CalPERS, has left cities particularly vulnerable to budget meltdowns, Summers warns that the problem isn't confined to the Golden State.
Cities around the country have made a lot of the same poor decisions as they have here in California. And so rising pension costs are going to continue to put a stress on local budgets. I think more cities are going to have to follow the example of San Diego and San Jose. They've recently switched over to a 401k style defined contribution pension system for all the city's employees except for police officers. And, you know, really the private sector has been going this way for 30 years now.
This is not a partisan issue at all. This is a good government issue. And I think when we get out of touch with that and we begin acting like it's our money, it's not the people's money, that's where you get into real serious problems.
Stockton officials hope bankruptcy will allow the city to opt out of some of its more stifling contracts and to avoid repaying all of its creditors in full, while maintaining some money in the general fund to keep its most basic city services. The city has already been downgraded by credit ratings agencies, which will severely restrict its borrowing ability. Retirees probably won't be seeing the benefits they were promised by city officials, and taxpayers aren't likely to see improved city services anytime soon. But with cities across the country locked into expensive long-term public employee contracts, Stockton's title, as the largest U.S. city to ever go bankrupt, might be short-lived.